Bien, morning everyone. Glad to see that most of you are still around and haven't departed on holiday. Our family had a lovely time with the Lechmi Ertels and the Lombards this last week, which was really good. But it's lovely to be back in time for Sunday. So those of you that have been here for a few weeks, you know we're going through this this Advent series where we're looking at different characters in the Bible. So we're going to be speaking today about the wise men. And I'm sure many of you guys have thought about the wise men at some point and maybe have it all figured out. So that's great. And I got to say, when I was preparing, I found it quite tough because with the wise men, and I guess with many of the characters in the Bible, we know them so well. In many ways, we've heard of them so many different times that we may feel there's little to learn. So what I want to do is, I can't say that I've got some amazing revelation the first time anyone's thought of some of the thoughts I'm going to present today. But what I'd like to do is to just pray that as I speak, that something of what I share would just speak to your hearts today. So let's just pray as we start. Lord Jesus, I just want to offer myself to you and the words that I share today. And Lord, I know that they are not great or lofty words. But I thank you, Lord, that your word is able to change our hearts. It's able to move us. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that as I share today, won't you just open each of our hearts to you? And Holy Spirit, I just pray that in each of us, you would just plant something of a word that will shift us, that would move us, that would point us to Jesus today. Amen. All right, so we're going to be reading from Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Sorry, it's a little bit small here, so you might need to open your Bibles, but I'll read it through together. All right. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where's the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least amongst the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And as much as we've all heard this story many times, it really is quite remarkable that these men from a foreign land would come all the way to Israel to meet someone that wasn't even their own king. It is quite strange. And I think there's lots of unknowns and mystery in the story that I'd like to walk through with you. But before we get to some of my thoughts, I want to just answer a few practical questions, just for those of you that are interested in some of the details about these guys and some of the gifts that they brought. So if we can go to the next slide there. The first question is, where were these men from? Okay, and I've got to say, what I'm going to be sharing now in the next few slides is theory. We don't have all the details, but what we do know about these men and what the Bible said is that they came from the east. So if you look at where Bethlehem is and you have a look at east, it could be anywhere to the east. But there are a number of early scholars and people that had very strong opinions about where these people came from. And the most common tradition is that they came from Babylon. Okay, who remembers anyone else who came from Babylon in the Bible? Nebuchadnezzar, that's right. And so he took quite a journey, and probably along this route, to go and defeat Jerusalem. at about 600 BC. So, and then he took those people that were from Jerusalem, he took them as exiles back to Babylon. We don't know if anyone was left there or not, but the chances are there was some vestige or some remnant of knowledge about Israel and the Israelites in that region. Whether that influenced whether the wise men knew about this new king who was coming or not, we're unsure. But the point is that this was around 900 miles or 1,500 kilometers away, if it was Babylon. And that's like a long way. That's a long way by car trip if you're traveling down to Cape Town. Right, Reeves? Where's Reuben? Reeves, long trip, quite a long trip. If you had to walk it, or if you had to sit on top of a camel, I'm sure it was a very long journey. So I think it's an important point that this wasn't a little trip. That actually these guys went a long way. There was a lot of effort that went to them taking this trip. Just to say that while that's the sort of the most common kind of idea, other thoughts are that they could have been even from as far as India, and that's like 4,000 kilometers away. So either way, it's likely that they took many weeks or many months to take this journey. So it really was quite an epic trip. All right, the next question is, what was the star? And before we go there, anyone know what the star was? Like, are you sure? Stephen, I'm sure you know what the star was, hey? You don't? Anyone else know what the star was? It's a little bit of a mystery, eh?
Possibly a comet.
Possibly a comet, okay. So there are a number of theories. One of them was the fact that it was a comet. And any of you seen Halley's Comet? I'm not looking at the youngsters because they weren't even around then. Okay. I saw Halley's Comet. Okay. It wasn't very fantastic at the time, but basically a comet was like an asteroid that sort of that went through the sky, and it had like a head and a tail. And it was, if I recall, it was there for a number of days. It wasn't just a flash. It was there over a period of time. So maybe it was a comet. Maybe it was there for some period of time. So that's one of the options. If we can go to the next slide, one of the common ideas around the star was that it was what they call as a conjugation of planets. So a conjugation is when two objects appear close to one another in the sky. And what you're seeing here is in 2020, there were two planets that came together, and this is showing how they got closer and closer over time. And you'll see on October the 26th, they're quite far apart, and over time they got closer and closer together until at some point in time they were right overlapping. And when they're overlapping in particular, that makes a very bright star in the sky. And this particular conjugation that you're seeing here was Jupiter and Venus basically lining up. And those are quite bright. We see them as stars, but actually planets. And so the thinking is that that's what it could have been. And what's interesting is that in around 3 BC, there was an event like this. So that's a possibility. We've talked about a comet, but another option would be a supernova or a nova. Any of you guys know what those things are? No one know what those things are? I didn't really know, but apparently it's like a bright explosion in the sky. And it's kind of outshines, it kind of comes up as something bright and amazing. So that would be more of like a supernatural thing that would just appear and would really attract their attention. And again, if we look back in history, in Chinese and Korean records, they document what was possibly a nova or comet-like event in around 5 BC. So again, something that's recorded that was significant enough for these ancient civilizations to record that there was something amazing that happened around that time. The other option is that these guys were astrologers, and I think there's quite a lot of talk around these people that were coming from the East being people that studied the stars. And so then they might have just interpreted certain events to be something special. So it could have been they saw these things together. That star is supposed to represent a king. This is supposed to represent something else. Put the two together, and it means we've got to go to Israel. I don't know. Okay. So I hope I've enlightened you somewhat to the possibilities, but it's very clear there's no clear answer. Okay. I've got to say, I quite like this one. And what I like about it is that It's interesting that it takes a number of months, and in a way you'd be able to see it every day, and you'd be able to look and you'd be able to see it moving. So anyway, this maybe is it, but maybe it was something else as well. All right, and then maybe this question, the final kind of practical question I want to ask, is when did the wise men meet Jesus? What do you think? When did the wise men meet Jesus? Okay, when he was a baby, like who hasn't seen the wise men around the manger in lots of paintings and pictures, right? Anyone think it could be something else? You all agree. He could have been older. Not sure. All right. Okay, here we go. All right, so if we read verse 11, it states that the Magi entered a house to see the child with Mary. But like if he was in the barn with animals, why would they enter a house? So that's a bit interesting. So that's the one point. So that would suggest that the family had moved out of the stable and was now living in a house, right? Possibly. And then in verse 16, I don't have it here, but basically when Herod found out that the Magi had gone their own way and ducked and hadn't come back to him and told him where Jesus was, he then did what? You don't remember? There was a decree or an edict to go and basically kill any child, any boy child who lived in Bethlehem at the time, below what age? Below 2 years. And like I'm sure he wouldn't have waited like 20 months or 22 months before he decided to act. So that would suggest that Jesus could have even been up to 2 years old when the wise man came to visit. So I hadn't actually really realized that. So that's quite interesting. So this idea that the wise men were there when he was in the mangers, I mean, it's possible, but it would also suggest that maybe that was unlikely, and he came at a later these guys came at a later stage to see Jesus. Okay, so hopefully you've learned one thing at least so far. All right, so now I'd like to move on and ask us, what can we learn from their journey? Okay, and this is where I'm hoping that this Holy Spirit will speak something to you as I share some thoughts around that. So the first point I'd like to make is that their story starts with revelation. Something had to be revealed to them for them to decide to move this 1,500 Ks, right? And it wouldn't have been just someone telling them. It wouldn't have even been just seeing something amazing in the sky. Something would have convinced them in their hearts that this was a big thing. Would you agree? Would have had to been something that was quite significant. And I think if we compare our stories, because we're also following a king, right? At some point we had a revelation of Jesus. And the choice for each of us was, are we going to follow through on this revelation? Like the wise men, they were revealed this thing, and then they could have chosen, am I going to stay here? Or am I going to take this long journey? And for them, they decided to take this long journey. But I think for us as well, we've also had Jesus reveal himself to us. And so in a sense, there's a call on each of us. What you're going to do about this knowledge and this revelation of Jesus in your own life? Are you going to take the arduous journey of following him? And just one thought that came to mind is this question that maybe some of you have around, you know, does God speak to me? Or have I had a revelation of who God is? And I know sometimes in these circles, people say, when Jesus spoke to me. And you kind of think, well, flip, you know, was it an audible voice? You know, what was that like? And, you know, have I heard Jesus speak to me? And I think all of us want to hear Jesus speak to us, right? We want to have a revelation of who Jesus is. And what was really just encouraging to me is that for any of us, if we have chosen to follow Jesus, if we can call ourselves a Christian, Jesus has revealed himself to us. Because he has to have taken us from a place where we didn't believe that Jesus was even God's son or we needed to follow him to a point where we were convinced that we needed to make a choice. And if you guys think back, can all of you think back to a point where there was that transition in your life, where there was something that was calling you that said, you know, Jesus is real, I need to make a decision today? Because if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, there was some point when you had a revelation from God. So I would just like to encourage all of us that all of us can hear God speaking, not necessarily in an audible voice, but he does speak to us in our hearts. And so if you may be feeling that you haven't heard God's voice, I would encourage you that he does speak to us, even in ways that we might not understand. Okay, so the wise men, there was something revealed to them about this king that was going to be born. But then there was a next step that had to come between them having this revelation and them actually moving. And they would have been counting the cost, right? And just so if we think about, say, 1,500 kilometers, say a number of months, that would mean quite a lot for someone who was the breadwinner of their family. And we assume that these were all men. They may not have been. But either way, there was a big journey that would needed to have taken place. And I think that would have meant time away from family, right? It would have meant lost income. It would have been discomfort, sitting on a camel for 40, 50, 100 days. And it would have probably meant actually wandering through some areas that were pretty dangerous as well. So what just struck me is that these guys really would have had to count the cost. Not just count the cost, but they would have said yes. And I think that's quite amazing. And it must have meant that revelation of this is important must have been quite something. Because if you're not convinced and you don't have a sense that this is really what God wants me to do or what I'm being called to do, you wouldn't have taken such a journey. And so what about your story? So we know that Jesus has revealed himself to you and that he's shown you some direction that he wants you to take, right? The first is following Jesus, but afterwards, Jesus keeps revealing himself to us. To each of us, he says, this is the next step. This is the next step. If we're willing to listen, he's going to tell you, this is the next step. So the question is, are you willing to count that cost and follow him? I think that's a question for each of us today in this journey is, are we willing to not just listen, but count the cost and say, yes, Jesus, and then take that journey with him? So maybe there's one of you here today who's really been challenged in this last year to take a step of faith and to do something different, to take a journey maybe, to start a new job, to do something. And so the question is, are you going to be like these wise men that actually took the journey and now they are some of the most famous people that ever lived? There was an amazing reward that came with them taking the journey. Or will you be like one of those other people that were probably with them there in that land that also probably heard? I'm sure it wasn't only three of them that heard or discovered this amazing thing, but basically the rest of those people never appear, and they would have never seen Jesus. They would have never taken this amazing journey. So I'd encourage you, if Jesus has spoken to you, to count the cost and then take that step of faith, as the wise men did. Right, and then my second last point I'd like to make is that is around the purpose of their journey. And so I believe that the purpose of their journey was really to honor Jesus, wasn't it? If you think about it. And I think that is really shown by the fact that they gave these amazing gifts. And we'll get there just now. But before we do that, I just want to say we had quite an interesting time with Rich and Sheila and others this last week. And one of the comments that was made was, I wonder what happens if it was wise women rather than wise men that had pitched up to the manger that, well, not the manger, had come to visit Jesus that day. And what do you think the wise woman might have brought? If you were there, what would you have brought to Mary? Like, here we go. So if it was wise woman, it would have probably been nappies, it would have been wipes, it would have been all those sorts of things. But so thank goodness that it was wise men that went to see Jesus. Hey? All right, so let's have a look at the gifts that Jesus brought, that the wise men brought. So if we can go on, there we go. Okay, we're all very familiar with what these are, but I just want to spend a few moments just highlighting some of the characteristics of these gifts and what they could mean. The first one is gold, and I think that's quite straightforward. We all know that gold is like very expensive, right? Girls around the table, gold ring one day? 100%, 100%, okay. So it means something. Gold is expensive. It's something special. And it was also known as a gift that you give royalty. So I think in giving this gift, they were really indicating that they were giving something to someone of high importance. Then the next one is a little bit odd. It's frankincense. And I was looking in the Bible to see where was mention of frankincense. And it was quite interesting if we read from Exodus 30, verse 34 to 36. I'm just going to read something from there. This is what it says. The Lord said to Moses, this is when he was establishing the temple, gather fragrant spices, resin droplets, mollusk shell, and galbanum, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. So there's frankincense. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. So there's an interesting point that at some point, this was used to make what God calls holy incense, specifically for use in the tabernacle. And so an incense was also used as in times of prayer. And it was kind of seen in a sense as people prayed, there was something that was moving up between them and God. So I think for me what it kind of signifies is the fact that Jesus is the mediator between man and God. He's the go-between, between us and God. So I think that's, to me, what frankincense could indicate, this idea of incense and Jesus being a mediator between us and God. And then the final one is myrrh. And interestingly, in the similar section of Exodus, we also read about myrrh being used. And myrrh was used to create an anointing oil at the time. And it was used as an anointing oil for the priests who were going to be actually serving in the temple. And we know that Jesus is our high priest. So again, quite interesting that choice of myrrh, which is an anointing and embalming oil. An anointing oil first, and then an embalming oil as well. And so the embalming oil is something quite different. Anyone know what embalming oil was used for? Bodies. Okay. So quite cool. Bring something to treat dead bodies and give it to a baby. Nice one. But I mean, it's quite interesting that again, this was prophetic, wasn't it? That there was a knowledge right up front that Jesus would be dying for us. So he was going to be the high priest that died for us. So I just think these symbologies are just, they're amazing actually. That these wise men would choose those three gifts. And I really believe that God would have revealed and made the suggestion or the impression, given the impression to these wise men that these were the specific gifts that they needed to bring, that it wasn't some arbitrary thing that they happened to bring along. Okay, so what about you and me this Christmas? How are we going to honor Jesus? The wise men brought these gifts, right? But what is it that we can do to honor Jesus this Christmas? And when I was just preparing, I went back to the 17th century Westminster Abbey Charter. And what it says is that the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is our chief purpose, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So this thing of glorifying God is really what we can do to honor Jesus. And so what I would ask each of you to do in this Christmas season is think about how can you glorify God? How can you honor Jesus in this season? And let's make sure we do that. It doesn't have to be necessarily through giving physical things away, but just in serving others and And honoring God in the way we live is a way to honor Jesus as well. Okay. Right, so the final point I want to make today is that these wise men were willing to change direction. So if we go to verse 12, this is what it says. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And I think we all know that if the wise men had gone straight back to Herod like he'd asked, that would have been big trouble for Jesus, right? He would have probably been found and would have probably been killed. So these wise men, they heard from God through an angel, and basically they changed their direction and decided to, at great risk, go in a different direction. And so just in thinking about that, I think what's important is that they've shown how they were willing to be courageous, and they were willing to do something different as soon as they heard from God. And so what I'd ask you as well is that if, as we look forward to the new year, maybe you've got a very clear course that you've charted. But will you stick to that course no matter what, or are we willing to hear from God and change course if he prompts us? And I think in this case, this was a life or death situation. It doesn't mean that if God prompts up us, it's going to be a life or death situation. But the point is that we need to be willing to change course if he prompts us. So maybe again, there's some of you here that you felt God prompting you to change course. And I would just encourage you, if that is you, don't sit back and not change course as God directs you. Because his prompting and changing, of course, is going to take us on the journey that he calls us to, each of us individually. All right, so I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a final song together. Jesus, just thank you for the story of at least three wise men, Lord, who were willing to take this amazing journey. They were willing to travel far. They were willing to sacrifice much and to give you amazing gifts. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would help us in some ways to emulate them. Help us to be willing to follow you and to seek you out. And then not only seek you out, Lord, but just to listen to you as you direct our lives. So I pray for each of us in this coming season that you would direct us and that you'd give us the strength and the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.